wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora. Hello, welcome to Dear Science for this week. We're joined by our expert, Professor Alan Blackman. How are you going today?
Oh yes, I'm still here, chugging along.
Right on.
You know how it is.
Now this is an exciting week for me because I did not do any prep. I did not look at what you've sent us for topics this week. I didn't even write them down. So I'm very excited, as we all are, I'm sure, to hear about what you've got to talk about today.
Okay, right. Well, this will be a change.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I won't be interjecting. I won't be spoiling the ending of your story.
You must have been busy. Here we go. Okay, so today I want to give a shout out to the great Dame Jane Goodall.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd talk about this, because this is a big news this week.
It absolutely is. And, as everyone knows, she passed away a couple of weeks ago, age 91, I believe. So really did pretty well there.
Yeah.
And my feeling is about her is that she is someone that many have heard of, but perhaps fewer know why they've heard of her. You know, what was she famous for?
Yeah.
And so I think let's talk a little bit about her today and just what she did over her life and you know, why she is as well known as she is. And so she was born way back 1934 and grew up with an attraction to animals, as, you know, lots of kids do. And there was sort of nothing unusual about her early life, I guess, until she, out of the blue, received a letter. Remember them? Letters? Ooh. A letter from an old school friend whose family had moved to a farm in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1957. And so her friend said, oh, you know, why don't you come on out to Kenya, as you do?
Yeah,
and,
why not?
And so she did. So she had a secretarial job at that time. And so she chucked that and thought, you know, let's go. And so she went over to Kenya and sort of mucked around there for a bit. And then went and saw the very famous paleoanthropologist Lewis Leakey. And he was very famous. He'd made lots of discoveries in a place called the Olduvai Gorge, anthropologically speaking, and sort of looking for human ancestry and stuff. And, you know, where did humans come from? And you know, did humanity start in Africa, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
And he hired her as a secretary. And then, you know, he's looking for something for her to do. And so he suggested that she go out onto a chimpanzee reserve and to look at the chimpanzees in the wild, basically. And and that's
where... Best secretary gig ever.
And that's where everything started. So this is a place called the Gombe Stream Chimpanzee Reserve. And she turned out to be very good at observing chimpanzees. And she made two epic discoveries there that basically set her up for life in terms of science.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was that chimpanzees eat red meat, that they will hunt other creatures and kill them and eat them, eat red meat.
And they didn't know this
they
before.
They did not know that
That's
before.
Crazy.
It was always assumed that chimpanzees were vegetarian.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
That's
so this was in about, you know, sort of 1960 or there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And so chimps eat meat. And the second thing, and this is the big one, was that chimps use tools.
Mm.
And, you know, we'd always thought that humans were really the only sort of animals that used tools. But now we know that that's certainly not the case. And she showed, or she saw, a chimp using tools in that a chimp would take a long stick of grass and sort of clean it off and everything and then poke it in a termite mound. And so apparently as soon as anything goes into a termite mound, the termites grab onto it, whatever it is. So the chimps were putting this stick or this piece of grass down into the termite mound, leave it there for a while, termites clutch on, pull it out, covered in termites, there's dinner.
Kebab.
Yeah.
She discovered that chimpanzees
are made. The termite kebab, there we go.
Yeah. I
love
it.
Love it. And so that was, you know, that was huge. That was huge in the scientific world. And as a result of this, now, she hadn't gone to university. And Leakey sort of funded her to go back to Cambridge and do a PhD. Now, she became only the eighth person to be allowed to study for a PhD at Cambridge without having an undergraduate degree.
Oh, cool.
That's incredible that she got set up with that opportunity.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. So that and, you know, it all worked for her from there on. So she did a PhD at Cambridge, and then as a result she got academic positions all over the world. So
yeah, of course.
At great universities. So Stanford, Tufts, University of Southern California, and Cornell, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, she kept on doing great work, and then she just sort of said, nah, that's it for me science-wise. Mm. And so she then spent the rest of her life essentially as an animal and an earth advocate.
Yeah.
And
that's how I know her.
And precisely, that's how you know her. But had she not done what she'd done previously, then she wouldn't have been half as famous and therefore probably as effective as she has been for the latter part of her life, let's say. So a lot of people's lives, it's a happy accident, you know. She was in the absolute right place at the absolute right time and just managed to make these incredible discoveries that really meant that she could then spend the rest of her career just doing, you know, what she loved and acting as an advocate for, you know, pretty much everything on earth, which God knows we need. Mm. And very, very interestingly, Netflix, of all people, got to interview her earlier this year in March.
It was like, was it the Last Words interview?
Yes,
I just
exactly.
saw that yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes,
that's yeah. really interesting. Everyone should watch that.
I was just about to suggest that. You said you weren't going to interrupt.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Oh my god.
You're like, I didn't read the articles, but I was on Netflix watching.
Yeah, I do
like
no things. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's no, a good
I,
one.
I think this is a really good. No, it's a really good idea because. You know, they're doing a series of these apparently where you record an interview with somebody which is not allowed to be shown until they're dead.
That's such a cool concept.
And it is actually, it really is, because otherwise you're relying on people writing about you and everything, and here you really get to say
like have a message
what you want to say.
Yeah. It'd be kind of scary to be approached for that though. Be like, hey, you want to say your final last words?
Do you know something I don't?
Hey, here's news for you. You're all going to die.
Okay, this is true. This is very true.
But in that speech, you know, she said some fairly powerful things.
Yeah. I suppose the stakes are kind of like, you know, you can really say whatever you want unfiltered because it's not going
to. Well, that's definitely. The thing. I mean, she's talking, you know, she's questioning as to whether this is actually the end of humanity, what we're going through at the moment. Mm. And that, you know, what she'd really want to do, she would love to send Elon Musk and Trump and Putin and Xi Jinping and Netanyahu to another planet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite telling. So very powerful words. Fantastic scientist, wonderful person, and she'll be missed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about her all day. We've got a couple more topics to talk about, though.
that
this
we
next
have.
One, yeah, is very cool using Alan's words. Who would have thought? You want to take it away? Tell
okay.
us the story.
Right, so birds. Let's go on to birds.
I love a bird topic.
We started with chimpanzees, and we're on to birds now. And obviously one of the things about birds is they make nests. Mm-hmm. And they make nests out of anything that they can find, basically. Mm-hmm. And generally it's sticks and leaves and bits of grass and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Now, and what they normally do, you know, they're little nests and they get blown out of the trees and stuff like that. And so they sort of get remade every year and blah-de-blah-de-blah. Blah.
Yeah.
Now, we've got the bearded vulture in Europe.
Mm.
And the bearded vulture in Europe reuses nests. And then they're... descendants reuse nests and so on.
Inheritance.
Right, exactly. You know, this is it. Here's your house. Sort of thing. And as an example, so as a result of that, so some of the nests that these birds use are hundreds of years old,
mm-hmm.
which
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And so now, sadly, the bearded vulture in Europe is an endangered species, and there's only 309 breeding pairs left. And most of those are in the Pyrenees. They used to be sort of endemic and all over the show. They used to be in southern Spain, but now they're not. unfortunately. So they're extinct in southern Spain. So what some workers did in Spain was to go and look at the nests of these extinct birds. And they did this over a period from 2008 to 2014. And basically they're treating it like an archaeological dig. So, you know, they've got these big nests and so they're just sort of picking through everything and finding what's there and just going through layer by layer by layer very, very carefully as you would on an archaeological dig. And so what they found was very, very interesting. So in the nests, so there were 12 nests that they were studying. And so in the nests they found 226 items made or altered by humans.
Whoa.
Which is kind
of... How big are these nests?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was trying to get a size, but they didn't actually say it in the paper, which was annoying. They just had a photo of one, but you couldn't really tell how big it was.
Did they manage to track down, like, back a historical timeline to, like, what the oldest potential item was? Oh, you said you wouldn't.
I'm so sorry.
That's exactly right, Jasna. That's exactly what they did.
Jump in the gun.
I can't wait to hear it.
We're all scientists on DSA.
Damn it, I'm just not going to say now. So, 226 items made or altered by humans. And these birds went extinct over about 100 years ago in this part.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So all of these things are going to be older than that. So what they found was a slingshot, they found some shoes, a crossbow bolt, a wooden lance, and some sheep leather.
Whoa, okay.
And, you know, so these are all sort of human-made things. And so they wondered how old these things were. So they went and carbon dated these. And the shoe was 675 years old. I know. And the leather was about 650 years old.
They're great historians. So it's like a little museum.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah,
I think that's so
awesome.
Cool.
That's so random.
And so they did this over, as I say, 2008 to 2014. And they only just published the results like this month, which seems to me an awfully long time.
Yeah, wait, that's like 10 years.
But maybe archaeology doesn't move very quickly. Maybe they've got to do this stuff ridiculously carefully or whatever. But I thought that was kind of cool. And in addition, they found 2,117 bones, 86 hooves, and 43 eggshells. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, you know, good old birds just pick up anything and use anything.
Yeah.
And some of them just happen to be human-made. So, you know, 675 years ago, there's somebody shaking his fist at the sky saying, bring me back my bloody shoe, you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised it lasts that long.
Oh, my gosh. Or maybe it was, like, creating peace. Like, they took away the slingshots. They took away...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's some good archaeology for you.
Yeah, we've got one more story today another mysterious planet. That is all I'm going to say.
We've talked about mysterious planets here before, I'm pretty sure, sort of planet Y and stuff like that. So there are apparently 8 planets in our solar system, but I'm a Pluto fan, so I reckon there are 9. But
I'm a Pluto fan too.
bring back Pluto, absolutely. Yeah. And the reason that we know that there are that number of planets was the fact that we'd figured out what their orbits should be. So these outer planets, okay, so Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They figured out what their orbits should be using good old maths and stuff and physics. And they found that it wasn't quite right. And so they thought, ooh, there must be something else out there that's affecting the orbit. There must be some big mass out there that's affecting the orbit. And so that's the way that they found Uranus and then Neptune and then Pluto.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
And so what they're finding now is that there's a region of space called the Kuiper Belt. And so that contains a whole lot of little sort of planetoid things. And so... Pluto is part of the Kuiper Belt. So, and what they're finding is that these planetoids in the Kuiper Belt, they're not sort of orbiting as they should. There seems to be possibly something else out there that's affecting their orbit. And so it's been proposed that, so there's this thing that they are going to call Planet Y, okay? And they're sort of figuring out that it's got to be somewhere between the mass of Mercury and Earth, so a decent size. And it's got to be roughly 100 to 200 times the distance from the Earth to the Sun. So, and as a comparison, so Neptune's about 30 times the distance from the Earth to the Sun away. So this is, we're talking a long, 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 long way away.
Yeah.
And so this has been proposed very recently in a paper, and The beauty is that there's this big new telescope just opened in Chile called the Vera Rubin Telescope. She was a very famous American astronomer who was sort of instrumental in proposing this thing called dark matter, which a lot of the universe is made of and we don't know what it is. But the beauty of this is that this big new telescope in Chile can basically take a photo of the entire sky every 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest digital camera ever made. Wow. Essentially, it's this massive, massive telescope. And so basically, if Planet Y is out there, then chances are, using this flash new telescope, it could well be found. They just don't know what they're going to find with this thing. So it's all very, very exciting at the moment.
Oh, and, that is exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, astronomy always is. Yeah. Go online.
We need more options.
And this is great news for Jane. We can send really important world leaders out there.
Yes.
To go
they
look
can,
at it.
They can go exploring. Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. So there you go. Exciting times abound in science, as they always do, you know, and more research is necessary. That's always the case.
Keep watching this space.
Absolutely.
As we always say. Well, that is all of our topics this week for Dear Science. Thank you so much, Alan, for joining us. Thank you, Mota, and thank you, Science. Just a quick thing before we go. If you love all things trams, Live Day Trams is on at MoTat next Sunday, 19th of October. Check out their impressive collection and catch a ride on one of their steam trains.
Ooh.
That sounds like you might be the go. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MoTat, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.